Today, we're going to whip up a tasty morsel. Let's start with one Sri Lankan. Roast in an Australian climate. Stir through music, stories, and connection. Throw in a generous amount of comedy. Add a big handful of spice. Include a pinch of interest, a dash of sass, a splash of nostalgia. Blend in some provocative comments. Stir through sincerity. And to garnish, a sprinkle of magic. Serve on a set of speakers. And turn it up. It's The Ginny Show.
The Ginny Show, oh, how long the days are gone. It's magic, I know. I think it will be fun. Come on, hello. Like we knew all along. It's time to party. The Ginny Show, oh, oh.
The Ginny Show.
The Ginny Show.
Connectivity. We are in an era where the opportunity to be connected and communicate with one another is at an all-time high. We've got so many ways to chat, catch up, converse, and respond. Clusters of text are now considered conversations. Computerized symbols and graphics are now considered a must to add tone to a textual conversation. When we moved to Australia in the late 80s, I remember we had a wind-up phone. You know, the one with the dial pad you had to wind around on the numbers you had to turn? I remember when it used to ring. You would be so excited. It would be one of our relatives from Sri Lanka. How did I know that? Well, because Ummi would shout as if she were yelling across the Pacific Ocean, so Sri Lanka could hear her.
Hello? 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 Ah, Chitra! Ani? Ah? Yes. No, don't tell lies. What happened?
When I was in high school, I didn't have a mobile phone up until I was 16. So anytime I went to a friend's place, I would get the same lecture from Ummi.
What is Christina's phone number? Tell me Courtney's phone number. Does Chingaling have a mobile? What is her address? Can you catch the train there? Eh? Call me when you get there.
Anytime I went to a friend's place, I would get the same lecture from Ummi. This was all good, but sometimes I'd get so excited to see my friends that I'd actually forget to call her. And that's when the embarrassment started.
Hello, Chingaling. Is Virginia there, please?
Hello.
Hello, Chadson Shopping Centre.
Virginia there, please.
Village Cinemas. Is Virginia there, please? Hello, Luna Park. Virginia there, please.
Virginia there, please.
I swear, my mother had every number in the phone book. She was like the Yellow Pages. She would call on the dot. She was like the human Google Maps. She would call exactly at the time I arrived at my destination. I'm convinced she was involved in some Sri Lankan mafia in the suburb we grew up in, and she had her spies. When I taught Ummi how to text, it was a challenge, but I thought it would make things easier for me. I got to my destination and would write, "Got here safely. I'm with Chingaling now and about to go into the movies." Ummi would write back,
"Okay, gone shop for food."
So I probably could have spent more time training Ummi on texting. Remember the good old days of MSN Messenger? Having an audio chat on there was like the equivalent of magic. Then there was a good old ICQ Messenger. I remember when I bought my first Mac during my last year in uni. Ummi was struggling to learn how to use it. She called me on my mobile and I had the coolest polyphonic ringtone. Hello, Ummi.
Ah, Pute, I'm on your computer. I'm trying to Skype with Auntie Kumari. There is this circle that keeps spinning and spinning and spinning like the Wheel of Fortune. Do I buy a vowel?
Of course. I used to always tease Ummi about how tech illiterate she was. When I bought her a cordless phone, it was like Christmas for her. She would call everyone to brag about it.
Hello, Krishanti. Yes, I'm calling on the cordless. I'm in the garage. Ah, Shemani Nangi. Yes, I'm on the cordless. Here, I'm watching this teledrama. It keeps dragging and dragging and dragging. Hi. Hello, Nilanji. Ah, Shenali Putte. Ah, Putte. Hello, Winston. Hello.
We've come such a long way in communications. We don't just communicate by phone anymore. Or letters. There's so many ways now. Email, SMS, tweeting, Facebooking, Instagramming, YouTubing, you name it. With so many options to communicate with so many avenues, why is depression at an all-time high? And the quality of communication between people at an all-time low? Just how connected are we? How connected are we to ourselves, each other, and to the rest of the world? Why are more people than ever searching for that connection when there's so much connection around us? So much so that they turn to meditation, mindfulness, the ability to be still, without distraction, without connection. With all the texting, Facebooking, tweeting, and overactive minds we have, none of us allow ourselves to get a good night's rest. We digest news in a different way. We interact and catch up by merely looking at news feeds and updates. It's even gotten to a point now that when we go to the bathroom, our device comes with us.
The Ginny Show.
Mams, do you take your phone to the bathroom with you?
I don't know anyone that doesn't. I mean, am I abnormal for taking my phone with me?
Absolutely not. I just find it really interesting how over time taking your phone into the... You know, the bathroom's a very personal area, but now we bring in our devices in there. Isn't it funny the day and age we live in?
It is, but what would... So let's say I'm at a party or a club and suddenly, you know, you got to go pee. I can't trust a random person to hold my phone, I guess. I mean, I'd have to take it to the bathroom, wouldn't I?
Do you take your phone with you when you go to the toilet?
I take a lot of business calls on the toilet and email writing. Really professional stuff happens on the toilet and entertainment.
Can I ask, is the time that you take the phone, is it specifically for number one or number two?
Both. And sometimes, I feel really vulnerable saying this, but sometimes I'll be done on number one and I'll just still be sitting there on my phone.
Number one.
Yeah, I'm like,
how about
done.
Number two?
And I just need to like finish up this thing on the phone. So now it becomes like a lounge.
So, Mo, do you take the phone with you when you go into the toilet?
Absolutely. It's my favorite place to check the phone.
Now, tell me, do you take it when you're doing number one or number two, or do you discriminate?
No discrimination. Sometimes I just sit there, like, you know, not wiped. I'm scrolling. Before you know it, I'm 20 minutes still on the toilet.
This is pre-wiped.
This is pre-wipe.
Okay, so you're scrolling.
I'm still scrolling. I sometimes forget, like, do I still gotta go?
Right.
And then I just get lost in the call or whatever I'm looking at.
Do you do this during, like, you know, when you work, you get, like, a toilet break?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can just take it as you wish.
Well, it depends on the level of the toilet. If it's a comfortable toilet, yeah.
Do you assess the comfortability of the toilet before you take
it? Oh, absolutely.
Well, how do you conduct this? What's the criteria of assessment?
Of assessment.
Of how comfortable a toilet is.
Well, you have to make sure there's no dribble on the side. you have to inspect around it, you know. You got to make sure the toilet paper is not a little bit wet, you know, like somebody's hand's been on it before sanitizing. So, you know, there's a couple of little factors that go into this.
A lot of people, especially because when you take the phone with you to the bathroom, a lot of germs can spread. Do
Absolutely.
You sanitize your phone as well?
Yes. I actually tell my clients that the reason they have acne on one side of their face is because they're not sanitizing their phone.
Really?
Yes.
So hang on. Unsanitized phones can create
acne.
How does that
particularly
work?
On one side of the face. Think about it. If you're putting your phone on the left side, then you're throwing your phone in your purse with crumbs and different things, and your dirty hands are on it, of course you're going to get acne on that one side of the face.
Some people don't even think about that,
do they? No, absolutely not. They'll be like, oh, wow, what a revelation.
How about you, Aaliyah?
Well, if I'm going to take a number two, I need entertainment of some form. And sometimes I just have it with me when I take a number one at work, because it's just in my pocket, and then I carefully set it on the toilet paper roll holder so that it doesn't fall in the toilet. And that's pretty much that.
Wow. It's safe to say that technology really is the shit. But it doesn't just stop with the bathroom. How many of us think that we have a fabulous joke or tweet that we must share with our Facebook friends and Twitter followers? And we're so eager to see how many likes and reactions we get from it.
So, like, I've noticed that I used to get a lot more play on, in terms of checking me today, so how many times do I check my responses? So I used to get a lot more play on Instagram than Facebook, but now it seems like everybody, I don't know if it's a generational thing, or, you know, my little millennial friends are just migrating back over to Facebook. Like, Facebook's getting more traction now for me. So it depends on what I post. Like, if I post a picture, and I'll be 100% honest, my lady and I, we have an obsession with pictures we take together. So depending on how hot the picture is. So there was one picture we posted. I forget which one it was. I think we were at, it was a sexy ass picture. And she says, we always look like we just got out of bed. Like, we have these really hot pictures that we take. So we'll like it and we'll unlike it for like 4 days straight. We kept liking it and unliking it. So it kept servicing to people's feeds. And seeing how, so we're like, oh my God, we got 100 likes. We're going to get to 100. We got, I think it was like, within a few minutes, we had like 20. Like, all right, we got 20, we're going to get 30. And we got home, we were at like 60. Like, all right, we're going to get to 100. And we just kept liking it and unliking it and kept like, she's like, did you like it? I'm like, no. She's like, unlike the shit and like it again. I'm like, okay, cool. It was strategic. So with pictures of us, I think that's when I'm the most anal about it. And we don't do it because we don't post that much. So it's also, it's fun. But if I post something and I think the shit is hilarious and I don't get comments, then I'm like really obsessed with it.
I am the person that will like, constantly checking, like when I post, and it's, and you know what, I'm honestly, I try to say that I'm just checking for, like, it's my analytical brain, like, because I'm really trying to, right now I'm trying to see out of the content that I post what is the most popular. Like, if it's a picture or something, like, I usually, like, I just let that fly. Like, I won't really care about the post. But when I'm really checking, I mean, for likes, but when I'm really checking for likes, it's I'll keep my phone out. I'll check like every minute, honestly. I'll be like, oh snap, you know, who likes it? Like, I want to see if certain content, it buzzes, you know, is more appealing, is it trending, in my own little world. So I'll check like every minute. And my lady hates it. She's like, yo, you still looking at your post from earlier? I'm still looking. I'm trying to see what, you know, what how people are receiving me right now. So yeah, I can be that person, but yeah, if it has to be something that I care about. If it's something that I'm just like posting, like I don't care. But yeah.
So what is the actual ultimate validation for a social media post?
See, comments to me are like an Oscar. Like, likes are great, but if I get comments, if I get several comments, then it's a wrap. Then I'm good for the, I don't need to post shit for the rest of the month. So there was one, I think my most infamous post that I had. It was one picture I posted. I think it was actually, look at that. It was this time last year. I was home for a friend's birthday and I had just found a new barber. And it was when I was just starting to really, really come into myself with my new look. And I posted a selfie in the mirror and I had on this nice outfit. I had on these new sneakers. It was for anyone who knows me, it was a completely new look. And that was the most likes and comments that I'd ever gotten. And I was obsessed with that post. Matter of fact, I want to look at it when we go off the call. I was so obsessed with that post and the likes it was getting in the comments. Like, I felt famous. I was replying to everybody's comments, kept the conversation going. So when I get comments are when I really feel special and I'm good. So if I get no likes in one comment, then I'm good. But I will check it frequently depending on what it is.
The Jenny Show. If anything offends you, please visit omgicantbelievejennysaidthat.com.
Social media and all this hyperconnectivity is giving everyone a taste of fame. That very essence of what it is to receive constant adoration from people we may not necessarily be close to or even like. Validation from people we probably think about a total of 120 seconds a year, if at all. So why is it that we put so much importance onto a device, a stream of communication that really isn't something we can touch or feel? We plug into a cultural matrix of online validation. Have you heard interviews with people in the limelight? I'm not generalizing by saying this, but in some instances, I feel a hefty price is paid for this. Ever wondered why there was a saying, prices to fame or prices of fame? In our 21st century, we've gotten to a stage where the best way to connect with ourselves and each other is to disconnect from all forms of digital connectivity. The Dalai Lama encourages an hour a day to yourself. That's 60 minutes, 3,600 seconds a day to yourself to spend with no one else but yourself. It's a way of recharging your batteries, checking in with your inner child, stilling your mind. You don't necessarily have to meditate in this hour. You could read, go for a walk, work out, play with your child, take yourself out to coffee. But these 3,600 seconds, 60 minutes each day, for you, it is possibly the most important investment you will make in your life. An investment that ensures you won't feel by the time you're 60 that life has just passed you by, that you've actually spent more time with your loved ones than on your computer or your smartphone, that you can see your child more than your inbox. Do it. 60 minutes a day. Call it me time. Call it downtime. Call it whatever you wish. Just don't make connectivity your number one when you're doing number two.
The Ginny Show. The Ginny Show is a weekly podcast produced by Sam Phelps from CV Audio. Our team includes Sebastian On Air, Joey Middleton, Visual Tonic, and ILDK Media. And me, the voiceover, Missy. Hello. Ginny Sarasvati is the executive producer. For more information, please visit theginnyshow.com. Keep in touch between shows via Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at The Ginny Show. Check back next Wednesday for another episode and have a magical week.
The Scrabble Go Guide to Learning New Words. Quizzical, your dad's face when he hasn't got enough vowels. Skeptical, your mom's face when you try to say small is a word. Belligerent, how your brother feels when he doesn't win. Vocabulary, what you all build when you play Scrabble Go together. Everyone's a winner with Scrabble Go, the fun brain training game you can play with family wherever you are. Available on Android and iOS. Download Scrabble Go today.